Okay, since this week's Sedra has in it the mitzvah of not hating another Jew and giving tochacha and loving your fellow Jew, and since, at least in the surface understanding, the students of Rabbi Akiva were guilty of lo noagu kavod ze bezeh, not treating each other with the proper respect, so it's a good thing maybe that we should discuss those mitzvahs both as a tikkun for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva and that a preparation for the giving of the Torah, which was only given because the Jewish people were united ki ish echad b'lev echad. It's a good idea to know what the mitzvah is of having love for a fellow Jew and not hating a fellow Jew or whatever. The Torah says the following: Lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha, don't hate your peer, your neighbor, in your heart. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha, rebuke your neighbor. Velo sisa lovcheit, and don't bring sin upon him. And we'll see once again what that means. Then it says, Lo sikom velo sitor es bnei amecha, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge against your neighbor. You should love your neighbor like yourself. Ani Hashem. So we'll discuss these more in detail, the Yahavta Reacha Kamocha, and somewhat the first ones. First of all, there is a difference of opinion amongst the Rishonim what exactly the prohibition of hating another Jew is. Some say that which it says in your heart means even in your heart. But surely if you voice your hatred or show him hatred in an outward way, you surely transgress this prohibition. The Rambam learns not like that. The Rambam says that if you go to your neighbor and say, I hate your guts, you don't transgress this prohibition. Not exactly the nicest thing to do, and you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself, and you may be hurting his feelings, but you don't transgress this prohibition unless it's in your heart and you don't tell the person you hate him. And there are various explanations why that is the case. Firstly, the concept of love and hatred is love is feeling a bond with somebody. And hatred is feeling separated from somebody. Ahava in Gematria, the numerical value of Ahava is Echad, one. You feel one with a person. And then when you feel one with a person, you overlook their faults or whatever, and then you can love somebody, you feel a bond with them. And Sina is where you feel separated from them. Really, we are separated one from the other, we're different bodies. It's only spiritually that we have one collective neshama, and that's where really you can be bonded to another person. And therefore, the damage of being separate from a person is really in the heart, in the neshama. Because externally, we were separated one from the other. So the real damage of sina, which causes separation, is in the heart. That's one explanation. Another explanation is a very emotionally practical explanation. When you hate somebody and it remains in your heart and you don't verbalize it, okay, it festers and it gets worse and worse and worse. As soon as you say to the other person, I hate your guts, you don't hate him as much anymore. You've gotten it out of your system to a certain degree. You ventilated it. So it makes it less. So it's a much greater hatred, much more damaging when you keep it in than when you bring it out. It's another idea. Another idea is that if the person doesn't know that you hate him, So if you told him, maybe he would apologize, and maybe he would, explain why you're making a mistake, that you never did what he thought you did, why you hate him. So you're not giving him a chance to either explain or to apologize. You just hold it in. That's another reason why it's worse to hold it in. And a last reason why it's worse to hold it in is because then you don't let the person know that you hate him, and he thinks you're his friend, and he'll do things in front of you or say things to you that he would never say to someone he knows is his enemy. It's much easier to deal with people you know don't like you than people you think like you and really don't like you in their heart. And David HaMelech, they say, said that. Hashem li ba'ozroi, va'ani ereh b'sonoi. Simple meaning, God is with me with those that help me, and I will take care of the people that hate me. Some say what it means is the following. Rabbanu Shalom, I can take care of the people I know that hate me. But the ones that help me, who really hate me, those I need your help. Right? So that is the Isser of Osisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, not to hate another Jew. We'll see in 1 second what the opposite of that is, loving another Jew, what that means. But in any case, that's a mitzvah of hatred, and it goes to the point where if you don't speak to somebody because you don't like them for 3 days, you're already considered a soni, already considered hatred. In other words, because hatred doesn't mean I hate his guts. It means I feel separated from him. I feel that there's a breaking of the bond between us. Okay, then based on this idea comes the next mitzvah.
Isn't there a concept that if you know that this person will not accept the rebuke that you...
We didn't get any rebuke. We just said that you told him that you hate him.
We didn't rebuke it. Then you're not supposed
to... We didn't get the rebuke yet. We didn't get the rebuke. We just get to the either telling the guy, hate your guts, that's not rebuke. Mm-hmm. Or keeping in your heart. Not rebuke. Next thing. Hocheach tochiach. Then there's a mitzvah to rebuke someone else. The word tochacha really means reproof, not rebuke. Hochacha means to prove to somebody that they're doing something wrong and to show them the right way. And there's various purposes for rebuke. One is to correct the past. Somebody did something wrong, right? So you want to make sure he doesn't do something wrong in the future and that he corrects what he did in the past. Another reason for rebuke is that you want to stop the sin. Somebody, you can protest the sin and stop it, because sins affect everybody. They're not just the person's private business, because if somebody is polluting the world and they're causing damage, right, so it hurts everybody. So it's not an idea of, you know, mind your own business, because the business of mitzvahs and averus are everybody's business, because they affect the entire world and they affect every person. So therefore, there's a mitzvah to prove to a person that what he's doing is wrong, so he'll stop doing it, or prevent him from doing it. There's also another idea that you shouldn't be what's it called affected. So there's an idea of protest. See somebody doing something wrong, so I have to protest it so I don't get used to it. Those are all reasons for rebuke. However, since the purpose of the rebuke is to stop the avera and to make the situation better, there are situations where your rebuke will not help anything and make things worse, then you don't rebuke. Something that you know the person won't listen to, either because he's so entrenched in what he's doing, he won't at all accept what you're saying, right? So then it's better not to say something that won't be accepted than to say something and it won't be accepted and make things worse. There are situations where a person doesn't know he's doing something wrong, but you know that if he wouldn't, and he doesn't, but if he would know, he wouldn't stop doing it either. Then better he shouldn't know, and he should do it unintentionally, then you should tell him, and he should do it intentionally. That's not always the case, but there are conditions. Not now the time to go into the details, but that's also a possibility. Somebody's doing something unintentionally, doesn't know that it's really wrong, but you know that if you would tell him it's wrong, he wouldn't stop doing it. Then better not to tell him, under certain circumstances. And there is another thing, that somebody doesn't accept the whole idea of a Torah. So you can't tell him, hey, it's Shabbos. I said, I know it's Shabbos, I don't believe in the Torah. So then you're not going to be able to rebuke him. We're talking about rebuking people who accept the foundations, they believe in the Torah. So I can show them that there's something wrong, right, under most circumstances. But somebody doesn't believe in the Torah, there the rebuke is not to rebuke him for the things he's doing wrong because he doesn't think they're wrong. There is to, in a longer, far-reaching, to be makariv him, say hello to him, invite him for a Shabbos, slowly but surely, to show him the beauty and the authenticity of Yiddishkeit. But there it doesn't help to rebuke the person on the spot. There's also an idea. You see somebody being mechal Shabbos, and you know, yelling Shabbos is not going to make him stop being mechal Shabbos. It'll just make him upset and angry and hate religious Jews. But on the other hand, you don't want to get used to that idea. So then you should protest and you should yell to yourself. quietly Shabbos. You're not going to have any effect on him, but at least it won't have an effect on you that you've protested to yourself that you don't get used to the idea of Shabbos. But nobody says that you have to yell it out loud that he should hear it, because he's not going to help him. The purpose for yourself, so whisper it to yourself. Then it says, "Velosisol of chait." However, when you rebuke somebody, you should not bear a sin because of that, meaning the following. One simple idea, the Gemara says, is you shouldn't insult him and embarrass him when you rebuke him. Because then you'll get a sin of embarrassing somebody in public. Do it privately, do it nicely, right? Don't make the person insulted or embarrassed. That's one. Secondly, if you don't rebuke him and you could stop him from doing the sin, then you are an accomplice to that sin. Because you could have prevented it, you could have stopped it, and you didn't. Then if you don't rebuke him, you are a partner in that sin, because you're an accessory to the crime. And another idea is that, another idea is that losisol of chait means don't give him the opportunity, the ability to continue sinning. Rebuke him so he'll stop. So rebuke him in order that he shouldn't have more sin, that you shouldn't be an accessory to the sin, and don't do it in a way that you get a sin by insulting him and embarrassing him. Do it in a way that is proper. Okay. And then the Torah says, lo sikom velo sitor, along the same idea. You should feel a bond with somebody. That doesn't mean you just mind your own business. It means you should feel concerned if somebody's doing something wrong. If you see somebody eating poison, you should be concerned about them. If you see somebody's doing a sin and know it hurts them, hurts their neshama, whether they know it or not, you should try to help them. It's all part of feeling a bond with somebody else. Don't hate him to break that bond. Rebuke him because you're concerned about him. Do it not because you want to show him that you're better than him or holier than him, but because you're really concerned about him. And it hurts the world and hurts him what he's doing. And then don't take revenge. Revenge means in material things. I go to somebody and say, loan me your lawnmower. And he says, no, I'm not going to loan it to you. And so you go out and buy a lawnmower. Next day he comes, he says, oh, I see you bought a lawnmower. He says, good thing, because my lawnmower broke. Could I borrow your lawnmower? I say, are you out of your mind? I had to buy a lawnmower because you wouldn't loan me yours. I'm not going to loan you mine either. That's called revenge. You're not allowed to do that. If I don't want to loan the lawnmower because I think he'll break it, that's okay. But if I'm only doing it because he didn't give it to me, then I'm transgressed the prohibition of lo sikom, of taking revenge. And not only that, the Torah says, not only can't you take revenge, but you can't even bear a grudge. You can't even tell the guy, and some people say even think it. Some say it's only if you verbalize it. But some say even if you think it. You can't say, at least, yeah, I'll give you the lawnmower, I'm not like you. Right, can't say that. You have to just forget about it. And if there's no other reason not to give it to him except for the fact that he didn't give it to you, give it to him and forget about it. Why? So the Yerushalmi says the reason is the following. If somebody is knocking a nail, he has a hammer in his right hand and he's holding the nail with his left hand and the hammer misses the nail and hits his finger. What idiot would take the hammer in his left hand and hit his right hand to take revenge? It's you. So if we said that all Jews are one, you're not allowed to hate a Jew and feel separated, but we're all one. So taking revenge on another Jew is taking revenge on yourself. It's absurd. Secondly, the Rambam says another reason. He says, when it comes to these trivial things, did you blow me the lawnmower? Did you give me this? Did you give me that? A person doesn't have enough brain cells to waste on these kind of things. Time in this world is short. There's more important things to put in your mind and worry about and keep in your memory than did the guy give me this, didn't he give me that? Forget about it. There's more important things in this world to worry about. And wasting your time worrying about these trivial things is counterproductive to this world. So therefore the Rambam says, forget about these things. They're not important enough to consider. To remember what the guy did, didn't go, just treat them, forget about the past. Unless there are exceptions to this, but that's the basic idea. And then the Torah puts the icing, the cherry on the top of the cake. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. So a very difficult thing, because what does that mean? You have to love him as yourself. Does that mean whatever you do for yourself, you should do for your neighbor? If I go out and buy a car, I have to buy my neighbor a car, and that's just one. I have to buy all my neighbors a car. Every Jew, I have to go buy him a car, because I bought myself a car. I like myself enough to buy myself a car. So what does it mean? And the Ramban says it can't mean that I actually love him mamish as myself, because it's not true. You come first. You have precedence over anybody else, when even to preserve your life. To keep tzedakah, if you have only a certain amount of money, and you need charity, and somebody else does, you give it to yourself first. If you have something that's getting lost, and somebody else has something getting lost, and you can only save one of them, you save yourself, your own first. That's halacha. So, can't be that somebody else is equal to you in loving somebody else. You come first. It's natural. So therefore, there are different opinions of exactly what this mitzvah includes. The Ramban himself says, it doesn't mean that you have to do for somebody else whatever you do for yourself. It's not what it means. It means just as much as you want success for yourself in all areas, monetary, physical, whatever it may be, I am happy and want that same success for my friend. I don't have to provide it for him, but I have to want it for him. That's basically the idea, right? I have to want someone else's success as much as I want my own. But I don't have to actually go out and provide it. Okay, that's the Ramban. The Rambam in three places mentions this mitzvah, and each place he gives a little bit different or extra framework of what the mitzvah is. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs says like this, the 30th mitzvah is, Lehov Kitzaseinu Es Kitzaseinu, that the part of the Jewish people should love the other part. In other words, a person should love all the Jewish people. Ke'ever me'echad ka'asher ohev atzmo, just like he loves himself. Shiktia avoso v'chemloso le'ochiv ka'avoso v'chemloso li'atzmo. So first he says it's an emotional thing. Your love and your mercy towards yourself should be the same as the love and mercy towards someone else. So we're talking about emotions. And it should be with his money, b'mamono uvegufo. But it doesn't mean you should give him money. It means that you should have rachmanis on his money like you have on your own. V'chol ma sheyeh b'rishuso, im yirtza oso, erza ani oso, I want it for him too. As much as I would want something for myself, I should want that same good thing for somebody else. That's what it means. Whatever I would want for myself, I should want for him. Similar to what the Ramban says. That it's not an idea of providing for the other person, but just being happy for whatever I'm happy that I should want to be successful, I should want that for my friend too. In Mishneh Torah, in Perek Vav Mehilchos Veos, the Rambam further says the following. Mitzvah al kol adam leo ves kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kigufo. Every person has a mitzvah to love every other Jew like he loves himself. Shenemar v'yohat l'recha kamocha. Lefichach tzorech l'saper b'shvacho v'lochus al memono kashiruchos al momen atzmo. What does that mean, practically? That you should speak nicely about him, that you should have rachmonis on his money, not do things that would waste his money or destroy his money, right? Like you want the same way for yourself, that people should speak nicely about you and not harm your or your money. Just like he wants his own, he is careful about his own money and material things and his own covet. Then another place the Rambam says, Mitzvah say shall divrayim levakir cholim ulnachim avelim. It's a mitzvah to visit the sick and to comfort the mourners. Even though they are only rabbinic mitzvahs, they are under the umbrella of Yohavta Recha Kamocha, which means kol advarim shatarotze shiyasu osam lecho acherim asay osa otam liachicha v'toru v'mitzvahs. Anything you would expect somebody else to do for you, you should do for them. So from all of this, we have two ideas in this Rambam. One is like the Ramban says, that it's an emotional thing. I should want for somebody else what I want for myself. But I don't have to necessarily provide it for it. Secondly, I should, whatever I would expect somebody else to do for me, I should do for them. Now, I don't expect somebody to go buy me a car, right? So I don't have to buy them a car. But I would expect somebody that if they backed into my car, they would tell me about it, right, and leave a note or whatever so I could get my money back and not come and find that somebody anonymously left me a present. So whatever I would do, would expect someone to do for me, and I would be upset if they didn't, that's what I should do for other people. Okay, that's the Rambam. And therefore they say, it doesn't mean the ohavta re'acha kamocha, you should love him like yourself. Because that's not true. It says lireyacha. Your attitude to him should be the same as your attitude to yourself. Not that you should do to him what you do to yourself. But your attitude to him should be the same as your attitude to your self. That's why it doesn't say you have to esriyachal. And the Eish Avraham says it's not talking about what you do. It's talking about the type of love. That just like you love yourself, that's the kind of love you should have for somebody else. Not a incidental thing, but something that's intrinsic. Your love for yourself is intrinsic, not incidental. So the love for someone else should be as intrinsic and not incidental. And idea of kamocha, the Reb Simcha Zissel from Kelem says it's not how you do the mitzvah; it means who you do it. Kamocha, riacha kamocha. Only someone who is similar to you in Torah and mitzvahs do you have to love. Somebody who is. We'll see that that's not the case, really, because only if you've rebuked the person, he didn't accept the rebuke, then you don't have to love somebody like that. That's a blatant sinner. But since today, we can assume that nobody knows how to rebuke people, the Gemara says, right? Because maybe you didn't rebuke him the way that was successful. So you didn't really fulfill the mitzvah of rebuke, right? You told him off, but maybe that's not the successful way of doing it. So therefore, everybody is considered before rebuke, and therefore you have to love everybody. You can hate their actions, but the person themselves, you still love. Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Is rebuking out? You can't rebuke anymore?
What?
You don't know how to rebuke somebody nowadays. We don't rebuke anymore?
No. You should rebuke, but you should. If you if not successful, you should give the guilt to you, not to him. In other words, he didn't accept the guilt, accept the rebuke. It's not because I rebuked him and he refused. It's because I didn't rebuke him properly. But you have to still try. No, hold on to questions. Okay, because there's a lot to do here. Okay, the Sefer HaChinuch says, the mitzvah lehov es kol echad miYisrael avas nefesh. To love them a very strong emotional love. What does that mean? Shenach mulag Yisrael v'amamono shev rachmonis on himself, on his money. And as it says in the Gemara, that Hillel explained to the ger who came to him, Ma'adolecha soni, what you don't want people to do to you, don't do to them. It's not, the Chinuch says, a positive thing. You don't have to do for them what you do for yourself. Like I said, you don't have to buy a car for somebody else because you buy yourself a car. But what you don't want people to do to you, don't do to them. Right? That's, it's more of a negative kind of thing. So that is the Sefer HaChinuch. So therefore, there are, again, different opinions of what this includes. Some say it includes doing for somebody else whatever you would expect them to do for you, you have to do for them. Whatever you wouldn't expect somebody to do for you, you don't have to do for them. Others say it's not doing anything, it's an attitude. Want for them the same thing you would want for yourself. You don't have to provide it. You want it. And some say it's just merely a negative thing. Don't do to people what you don't want them to do to you. But there's no positive over here, only the negative. Only not doing the negative. Okay. The and some say that even though there is no specific mitzvah to shower somebody with the things that you would shower on yourself, but if you can afford it and you can do it, and the circumstances provide it, then there is a mitzvah if you do it to do that too. But there's no chiyuv. You're not obligated to do that. Okay. The Ksav v'Kabbalah mentions a a list of things, maybe about 10 things, that go into the category of what I would expect somebody else to do for me that I require to do for him. What goes into that category? Okay? One is, I would expect somebody else to love me honestly and not to be a faker. I could expect that. I would expect that, that people, if they love me, they shouldn't fool me or whatever. They should be honest. Okay? That's one thing. So I should love other people honestly. Second thing, I can expect people to treat me with respect. I therefore should treat other people with respect. I would expect people to be concerned about my welfare. To say hello, how are you, whatever. I should do that for other people, be concerned about their welfare. I would expect other people to commiserate when I have tzaras. Right? I therefore should commiserate with other people when they have tzaras. I would expect people to receive me happily, joyfully, right? To make me feel good that they're happy to see me. And therefore I should greet and receive people joyfully. I would expect people to give me the benefit of the doubt. I should give people the benefit of the doubt. Okay, I would expect people to put themselves out minimally to help me. Okay? I would expect somebody maybe to stop and help me change a tire, right? If I'm a person who doesn't know how to change a tire and I'm stuck there and they see I have a flat tire and they know how to do it, I would expect somebody, if they're not in a very big rush and they're not going to be late for work or whatever, right, that they should stop and help me, because I would expect somebody else to do that. I should do it for them too. Okay? But to expect somebody, you know, if I go bankrupt, to bail me out and give me thousands of dollars, I wouldn't expect anybody to do that for me. I don't do it for them either. And also, the same thing goes for my money. Right? Whenever I would expect somebody else to, I'm stuck and I need a half a shekel to get on the bus, or 2 shekel, right? And I really, not one of these people that do this as a profession, right? I lost my wallet, I need car fare or whatever. The people that are around the bus stations that do this day in and day out and make a nice living from it. But somebody really, I lost my wallet, I need to get home, right? Could I borrow 2 shekel? Probably I'm not going to pay it back because I'll never see you again or whatever. I need 5 shekel. So I would expect somebody to give me 5 shekel to get home. And I should do the same thing for someone else. On the other hand, I don't expect somebody to give me 100 shekel, who I never saw and probably would never get it back. I don't expect them to do it for me. I don't have to do it for them. And the last thing is, I shouldn't be condescending. I would expect people not to lord over me and speak to me condescendingly and be haughty over me. I shouldn't be haughty and lord over them. Those are the things that are included according to the Ksav the Kabbalah. The Reb Shamshon Feuerl Hirsch adds another dimension to the Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, and he says that just like he said, I should love him equal to me, meaning I shouldn't feel that somebody else's success is at my expense, and I shouldn't be able to forgive somebody their success. Many people, you know, are upset when somebody else is successful because they think that their success causes them not to be successful. They're successful at my expense. A person shouldn't feel like that. He should feel that the Rabbanu Shalom can make everybody successful, or he can make you not successful if he wants to, and make somebody else not successful or successful. Cain was guilty of that. When his sacrifice wasn't received, and Hevel's was, he was upset because he felt that his wasn't accepted because Hevel's was accepted. And God told him, it's not, nothing to do with it. If you'll do what's right, yours will be accepted too. Yours can be accepted and Hevel's can be accepted. Yours was not accepted because of Hevel. You're not unsuccessful because Hevel is successful. Both of you can be successful. So don't look askance at somebody else's success because you think that that is at your expense. Not the case. That's what Shamshon Feuerl Hirsch says.
It's not a zero-sum game.
Huh?
It's not a zero-sum game.
Right. The Baal Shem Tov says, the Ahav L'Re'acha Kamocha means, just like you love yourself, that's how you should love somebody else. You love yourself even if you're not perfect. Right? Right? People love themselves even though they know that they have defects and shortcomings and faults. So you should love somebody else also, despite their shortcomings, faults, and defects. Okay? The Chasam Sofer says that really this idea of loving somebody like yourself is only in spiritual things. But in material things, there you come first. But in spiritual things, what's it called? You have to want and do for other people exactly what you would want and do for yourself when it comes to mitzvahs and Torah learning and midos tovos and so on. Okay. However, the Ksav Sofer, his son, says just the opposite. He says that one would think that this halach is only in material things. That you should want for your friend what you want for yourself materially. Comes along the Ksav Sofer and says, no, that's what Rabbi Akiva said, Zeklal Godel Batorah. It's not only in material and physical things. It also applies to Torah. You should want for someone else whatever levels you reached in Torah. You're frum. You had a good education. You have good midos. You should want that for somebody else too. You know Torah. You should want them to know the same thing. You don't have to necessarily go and teach them. But you should want for them what you want for yourself. The Michtam Eliyahu says that there are three levels in fulfilling this mitzvah, and most of them are what we explain. One is attitude, like the Ramban says, that your attitude towards someone else should be the same as your attitude towards yourself. As much as you want success for yourself, you should want with an equal amount success for somebody else. It's attitude. Second thing is that you should want to give to someone else what you would expect them to give to you. And by giving to someone, whether you're giving your time, your money, your expertise, whatever it may be, giving creates a bond. Giving creates love. That's what the Michtam Eliyahu says. If you want to create love, it's by giving to someone else. Because when you give, you create that bond. That's why a mother's love to a child, since she gives of herself, much of her body for that child, is much greater than a father's love for a child. Because the father's love is more distant, and the mother is mamish gives of herself for that child. And the last thing he says is that the reason you should love another person is because he's a tzelem Elohim, he's creating God's image, and therefore ani Hashem, since ani Hashem and God unites everything, so every other Jew is united under God, you should feel that connection to him. Okay. Okay, and Rabbi, let's go, Ben Azai said, there's a bigger klal than v'yohavta riachu kamocha. And that is, zes sefer toldos adam, ki betzelem elokim oses adam. If I love somebody as much as I love myself, or don't want to do to them what I wouldn't want done to me, or do to them what I would want done to me, there's a drawback to that. Because what if I don't care? Right? I don't care if people insult me. It doesn't bother me. Okay, so therefore I can insult other people. Because I don't care if people insult me, so I can insult somebody else. Comes along Ben Azai and says, no. That's usually a good measure how you should treat other people, how you would want to be treated. But even if you don't like yourself, or you don't care about these things, right? He's created in God's image, you should go that extra mile for him, even if to you it makes no difference. Even if to you, you become, you know, strengthen that you, it doesn't, nobody can bother you, you just let it roll off your back, that doesn't give you the right to go insult somebody else, because still he's created in God's image and he deserves, if it bothers him then don't insult him. It may not bother you, but if it bothers him, then it shouldn't be only what bothers you, you shouldn't do to him even what's beyond that. And the Sasema says that if you make the attempt to love another Jew, it's very difficult. Then ani Hashem, I'll help you. Right? It's difficult to love somebody else like love yourself in any of these ways. But if you'll start and make the attempt, God says ani Hashem, I'll help you. You start and make the attempt. And the Seder Hayom says, aside from fulfilling the mitzvah of the Ahav L'Recha Kamocha, if you love another Jew, you're also fulfilling another mitzvah. Of emulating God, because God loves Jews. So you are emulating and walking in the ways of God, because God loves Jews, you're emulating Him, and you love Jews too. What is included in this, the Hafta Riacha, some specifics? One is, one of the Sfarim says, Lireacha means even ralecha. Reacha can mean he's bad to you. Even if your neighbor did you bad, don't pay him back with that. Still love him. Because sometimes you do bad to yourself too. You harm yourself too. You do things that are harmful to yourself. You eat things that are harmful, and you sometimes do things that later on you like to kick yourself because you really harmed yourself. You still continue loving yourself despite all of that. So even if somebody did you bad or whatever, you can still fulfill the mitzvah of loving him. Paris Yosef says, somebody the following. People can usually love people who are not like them. But somebody who's in the same profession, right, or very similar to you, those kind of people you don't like, because you look at them as competitors. So even kamocha, even the people who are like you, you should love. Sure, the people are not like you, but even the people who are like you, who you look to as competitors, there you should love them too. You're chayiv even to children. To love Jews, not only bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah people, mechuyev also to love Jews who are not bar and bas mitzvah, and even what's it called, people who are not classified as rishayim. And like we said, to be classified as a rasha, you have to be a person who sins, who's been rebuked, and does not accept the rebuke. And since today we can never be sure that the rebuke was effective, so maybe it's not their fault they didn't accept the rebuke. Maybe you didn't know how to rebuke people. So therefore, we always assume people are before rebuke, and nobody is classified as a halachic rasha that you can hate him, not just hate his actions. Okay. okay. So Shalom HaKadosh says, just like you have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, right? So too, you have to love another Jew the same way. And again, with the parameters that we mentioned until now. And that's why the Ohavta Hashem Elokecha and the Ohavta Reacha Kamocha have the same numerical value, 907, each of them. I didn't add them up now. I take the word of the Sefer I saw it in. But if you want to take the time and add up the Ohavta Es Hashem Elokecha and the Ohavta Lireacha Kamocha, you'll see they both equal 907. And if they don't, so keep that knowledge to yourself. They don't, let me know. Okay, the Seder Ayom says, since it's included not only in material things to love someone else, but also in spiritual things, part of the love of another person is to rebuke them, to set them on the right path. If you really love somebody, you're not going to watch them take poison and keep quiet. You see somebody's a smoker and you know that they're harming themselves, try to convince them not to smoke. Right, or anything else that's dangerous for them. And the same thing, if somebody you know doesn't know Torah, doesn't know mitzvahs or whatever, and you really care about them, you want what's good for them, so you will try to teach them and guide them or whatever. But again, to do it in a way that's going to be effective and not in a way that's going to just push them farther away. Okay. Another thing is, to fulfill this mitzvah of the Ohav Torah Kamocha, is to daven for other people. To as much as you daven for your own success and your own refuah or whatever it is, parnasa, daven for other people's parnasa and other people's refuah too. The Arizal says that it's crucial that before a person davens every day, he should say verbally, I accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving every Jew. Because in that way, when you daven, we daven always in the plural. Not in the singular. Then you'll in have intention to daven for other people too. You're not just davening for yourself in the plural. You're davening for everybody. And you love everybody. And you're concerned about them. Then we have an extra added benefit. Because it says whoever needs something and davens for somebody else who needs that same thing, he's answered first. Just had an interesting Rebbetzin Bulman, Shendel Bulman, Aleha Shalom, just nifter, the shiva is just over. So there's a maisa that I know of personally because it had to do with somebody on our moshav. A woman who had trouble having children. She was married for many years, didn't have any children. And she went to Rabbi Bulman for a bracha. Rabbi Bulman said, I have a daughter and son-in-law who also been married for many years, don't have children. So I'll make you a deal. You daven for my children and I'll have them daven for you. And both of them had children of Mamash Kemat around the same exact time. So each one was davening for the other one. And that's a greater schus than davening for yourself. Okay. Okay. And what's it called? Pardes Yosef says an interesting thing about davening. It says in the pasuk, "Ma betza ki naro gesachinu v'chisinu es damo." When Yehuda said to the brothers, "What are we going to benefit by killing our brother and hiding his blood? Let's sell him instead." Okay, but he said, "What benefit? Ma betza ki naro gesachinu." So the Pardes Yosef says that you can learn it in the following way. Not this is the meaning, but this is a nice hint. Betza, Beis, Tzadik, Ayin, hints to the three times of davening in the day. Boker, Tzoharayim, Erev. Betza. Boker, you daven in the morning, Tzoharayim in the afternoon, Erev at night. Ma Betza, what benefit is there from davening three times a day? Kinaru gesachinu, if you're going to kill your brother. If you're not going to love other Jews, right, and you're out there, what's it called, doing harm to other people, what benefit are you going to get from davening? Davening is a benefit if you love other Jews and you're concerned about everybody. But if you're killing all your brothers, davening three times a day is not going to help too much. The Yisod V'Shorish HaVoda adds some other points to this. Somebody who praises someone else, and there's rules of when you can praise somebody. You shouldn't praise somebody in front of their enemies, because you're just going to lead them to say, but, right, or whatever, and speak a lot of Lashon Hara. But you're allowed to praise people minimally in front of people who like them. And then you should give them a bracha too. You would expect people to praise you and give you a bracha, praise them and give them a bracha. And also as a mitzvah to instruct people to do things that will prevent harm from coming to them. Or helping them in small things. Right? I think one of the Bali Musar learned how to sew. So if somebody, he knew somebody with a button that fell off and couldn't sew it on, he would sew it on for him. Right? Small things that, you know, don't seem to be very important, but at the moment they're very important to people, and you can fulfill that fine. The people who have the ability should be part of Hatzalah and Zaka and all of these things. There should be groups in the communities which can help people, right, when they need help. And people who can do that should volunteer to be part of that. That's also part of the providing medication or advice, medical advice to people. It's also part of the Ohav L'Reacha Kamocha. And some say that you can, the litmus test, whether a person, what a person's stature is as a religious person is how much he loves other Jews. As much as he loves other Jews, that's how much you know he loves the Ribbono Shel Olam. As much as he doesn't love other Jews, you know that he doesn't love the Ribbono. I once had a Gioris, a convert, come to me and say, she really loves Judaism, but she doesn't like Jews. I told her it's a package deal. You can't love Judaism and not love Jews. Right? They go together. Right? And in fact, they say that that's what it says, Ani Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam says that we're three partners. If you love your neighbor, then I'll be the... I like people who like other people. Because then they like me too. So if you're going to love your neighbor, then I'd like to be part of that friendship. Then Ani Hashem. Okay. The Nilas of the Mitzvah, the Baal Shem Tov says that if you have two Yuds next to each other, that is a symbol of God's name. Yud, Yud. Most Sidurim, that's how they... Instead of writing it out, they put two yuds. If you have two yuds, one on top of the other, that means that it's like a colon. It's the end of a sentence. He said, when one Jew is over another Jew, that's the end of everything. Mm-hmm. When two Jews are side by side together, then it's God's name. Mm-hmm. The Ava, if you double it, the word Ava is equal to 13. If you double it, it's 26. When you have two loves, this one loves this one and this one loves that one, 26 is the numerical value of God's name. So Jews who love each other, that's godly. And that's what he says, as much as you love each other, the Baal Shem Tov says, that's how much I want to be part of it and love you. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, Ein Hashem Ohev, Ela L'misha Ohev Yisrael. God does not love anyone except those people who love other Jews. And you give God pleasure by loving his children. And in fact, some say that the major thing is not so much how much you champion God's honor, but how much you champion the honor of another Jew. Why? Because the king expects people to champion his honor. But if you champion the honor of his children, that shows that you really respect that king. So God finds more pleasure in people who champion the honor of the Jewish people rather than even his own honor. And Rebbaruch Baer from Kamenetz, who was a great Rosh Yeshiva, great Gadol, tremendous genius in Torah, he said the following. He says, I am not going to be able in the future to approach the heavenly court with Torah, Yerushalayim, because what's my Torah and my Yerushalayim compared to people who were greater than me or whatever? So I'm going to come there and boast of what a big Talmud Chacham I am, what a big Yirei Shemayim I am. I'm going to come before the heavenly court and say I loved all Jews. And what's it called? And that hopefully is going to be my schus. So somebody like that, who had plenty to going for him in other things, felt that that wasn't enough. And what he really could count on was how much he loved other Jews. So what are we going to say about ourselves? Okay. Okay, the Pele Yoetz says that with all of this, it's a very difficult mitzvah. Very difficult to love other Jews. And for very variety of reasons. First of all, you don't have to love somebody else for who they are. Right? You have to love them because they're a Jew. Because they have the same mitzvahs that you have. In other words, I may not like your personality. You may rub me the wrong way, and I just don't like you as a person. But I still have to like you as a Jew. I don't have to like your personality, but I have to like your essence. So the mitzvah is really separate from the individual person. It's who you are, not or what you are, not who you are per se that I love. So I can be upset with you, right, and not really want to be your best friend because you really rub me the wrong way. But on the other hand, I have to feel a connection to you because Lamaisa, you're a Jew. You have a neshama like me. You have a mitzvah like me, and I love you because of that. That's
well,
the.
Well, I can't do it. I can't love Arik Sharon. I can't love Gidon Levy. I can't love Amira Hess.
I don't know who these people are. So, in any case, I hear. But you can. You can. What you can do is the following.
Amira Hess said it's okay for Arabs to throw rocks at
Jews. Yeah, she's the one who said that.
Jewish babies on the roads.
So she's an idiot.
Could I love her? Okay, no, I can't do it.
1 second. What you can do, possibly, is the following. And again, these people are in the newspapers, so I can love them also. I don't, it's the people that I have to deal with daily that I have more of a problem with. But in any case, but what you can do is the following. If you really work at it, and say the following. I don't like what she stands for. I don't like what she said. I think she's a total idiot, and worse than that, that's for sure. Right? Somebody who said that is... She only said it to be provocative. To someone.
No, she really believes. She lives in Ramallah.
Yeah, fine. I can't believe that she's that stupid that believes that. She's a newspaper person. Right. Even, what's it called? Even, let's assume that, whether she meant it or whatever, what you can do is the following. Say, I abhor her ideas, what she said, but as a person, someday I hope she'll do tshuva, see the light. What's it called? As a person, right, there's hope for her. I love her as a Jewess. She has tremendous potential as a Jewess, as a neshama. Same neshama as me. Right? I can't stand what she stands for, what she does, whatever. What she is, different story, she's a Jew. And because of that, I love her. That's a possibility. It's difficult. And that's what Rabbi Akiva said, according to Rabbi Yeshua Mikutna, in the tongue-in-cheek. He said, meaning the following. Usually that's good on paper, theoretically. Practically speaking, it's very difficult. So it's a klal gadol b'Torah. It's very nice as theory on paper. But lemaisa, you have to work at it very, very hard. And it says that if you make the effort, right, and try at least, then Ani Hashem, I'll help you. God says, I realize not something's going to happen easily, but if you have the intention and you make the effort, then the Rabbanim shall make it easier for you. Yet nobody says that this mitzvah is an easy mitzvah. It's a very difficult. It's an easy mitzvah for people that you like anyway. For people that you don't like anyway, it's a very difficult mitzvah. And people find a million different reasons why it's okay to hate other people. And the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Because people didn't fulfill this mitzvah. And they hated each other and they thought they were justified. Anybody who didn't exactly serve Hashem the way I do, they thought it was an apikoros, a mitzvah to hate apikorsim. So I hated them because they're apikorsim. And they thought it was okay. It wasn't okay. Because they weren't apikorsim. Because they just didn't serve God the way you do exactly. Didn't wear the same yarmulke you wear, or do exactly whatever you do. Right? But doesn't make it an apikoros. So there's millions of reasons why people justify not loving other Jews. Right? And it's a very difficult thing. And you need a lot of siyata d'shmaya, a lot of heavenly help to be able to do it properly. Okay. And therefore, in order to fulfill this mitzvah and also to give you a chance to do it, I'm going to let you go early. And that way you'll like me better. And I'm showing you that I like you. So
the truth is, though, when you look around at what's happening today, even in the Torah world, most people don't behave that way.
Yeah, I agree. That's a klal gadol b'Torah. It's nice in theory. It's on paper. And practically speaking, that's why there's no Beis HaMikdash.
Given what he said just now, a great rabbi passed away this week. And he and his father weren't on speaking terms for years. He and his father. I don't want to mention the names.
Good. I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you know who they are.
Huh?
Is that all they are?
No.
One is 66, who died this week, and the other one is a very famous rabbi.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Now, I'm sorry. Now, I'm sorry, I know you're talking about.
He is Dolad Dov, the father.
So okay. Sorry, Father Satchel before.
Yeah. Not exactly connected, but I read something interesting this week. When we eat and we go to sleep, there are two ways to do it. You can eat because you're hungry, and you can go to sleep because you're tired. But if you go to sleep or you eat, and before you do either one, you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing this so I have the energy to do your mitzvahs, then you get Olam Haba from that. Otherwise, you get Malach.
Okay.
So we got to learn every time you eat or every time you go to sleep, say that to Hashem first.
So I'm letting you go to sleep early so you can serve the Rebbe. Okay.